Preface. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? That question, tossed out casually on a podcast, stuck in my thoughts and became the starting point for this book. It begins with a challenging premise that our society operates within a false economy of comfort, a system where we borrow stability from the future to pay for comfort in the present, trading away genuine understanding and collective resilience. As I peeled back the layers of our current challenges, political, social, and personal, I realized the question was incomplete. It isn't just a choice between happiness and truth. It is a choice about time. The real question is, would you rather feel comfort now and face the consequences later? Or would you rather face the consequences now and ensure freedom later? This book explores a counterintuitive idea that significant trauma, the kind that shatters the foundational assumptions of safety, collapses time. The destruction of personal comfort can compel a confrontation with inconvenient realities and make the usual comforts prohibitively expensive. This is not to claim that trauma bestows an infallible truth detector, nor to romanticize suffering. Even for those who would not have chosen it, the collapse forces a different relationship with truth. When the worst has already happened, the luxury of deferring reality is removed. The future and the past are no longer distant abstractions. They have arrived, uninvited, in the present. This forces a raw engagement with reality, like a shipwrecked sailor learning the currents and the stars, and asks what such hard-won perspective reveals about the cost of looking away. It is not a chosen path, nor is it a superpower. What it is, instead, is a painful, necessary adaptation. I suspect that without these specific circumstances, I would not have developed it. I would likely be more naive, more comfortable, and less inclined to question the systems I move through. This book is not written from a position of superiority. It is written from a position where the option of looking away was removed, not surrendered voluntarily. When you cannot afford to look away, you develop a lens forged in necessity, a way of seeing that cuts through the elaborate shields we construct to insulate ourselves from consequence. It reveals how certainty freezes time, how denial defers time, and how institutions monetize time. It challenges the comfortable fiction that we are merely confused or misled, suggesting instead that we often use our intelligence to dignify our avoidance. This journey is not comfortable. It asks difficult questions about complicity, privilege, and the stories we tell to avoid the messiness of human life. It requires practicing what the poet John Keats called negative capability, the psychological fortitude to remain in uncertainties, mysteries, doubts, without any irritable reaching after fact and reason. It is the courage to remain confused without grasping for the false comfort of premature answers. That capacity, fueled by curiosity, is what allows us to look squarely at the narratives that shape us and the denials that constrain us. This book is an invitation to stop borrowing from your future. It is a call to question the worth of unexamined ease and to consider that binding your present actions to their future consequences, what I call inner coherence, is the only way to build a life and a society that can survive the passage of time. About the author. The author brings an insider-outsider perspective to PTSD, truth as currency, in a market of denial. He draws on his training as a robotics engineer and his appreciation for the logic of complex systems. This analytical focus was not merely a career choice. It was a survival adaptation. Frameworks constructed while navigating a childhood defined by substance abuse, poverty, and institutional neglect. His life began with a collapse of time. Trauma made the option of deferring reality too costly, forcing a confrontation with truths that others preferred to ignore. This history shapes his examination of the comforting fictions we use to avoid consequences. It fosters acute skills in pattern recognition, code switching, and the ability to distinguish between a system that is broken and a system that is working exactly as designed. Yet this lens is no precision instrument. It is a shard of glass, shaped by pressure, offering perception that can both clarify and distort. The initial view through such a fragment is a blur of pain and hypervigilance. A mind calibrated by systemic failure and personal loss must perpetually guard against mistaking malice for incompetence, conspiracy for chaos, or pattern for noise. This book is therefore not just a diagnosis of societal denial, but a simultaneous self-interrogation, the constant, deliberate act of adjusting the focus and wiping away the fog of old griefs to see the present more clearly. This is the vital and ongoing work of calibrating that lens, the primary instrument for this inquiry. He traces a path toward inner coherence, the relentless process of integrating one's experiences, values, and actions through this constant act of calibration. Throughout, he grapples with a central tension. On one side, observed patterns suggesting a deterministic future written by the past. On the other, the human need for agency and the responsibility to bind present actions to a different future. This sustained inquiry is the essential work of mapping the terrain and charting the waters where a more coherent self is built. Central to this critique is the draped apes concept. Primates plus fancy clothing equals humans. This perspective posits that we are not merely fallible, but structurally prone to prioritizing the drapery, our appearance, over the ape, our reality. We are creatures who will trade truth for comfort until the cost becomes unsustainable. A note on tone, this book addresses the heavy economics of denial. To navigate this without succumbing to despair, the author relies on a tool he has used his entire life, humor. This is not levity for its own sake, but an analytical instrument to expose the absurdities of denial and hypocrisy. He believes that sometimes the most effective way to expose a difficult truth is with a sharp joke, and that confronting a world built on useful fictions demands the emotional and intellectual buoyancy of satire. If you find yourself laughing at a description of a hollow ritual or breathtaking illogic, understand that this is by design, a shared, dark laugh for resilience.